Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. A lot of things on tap in this episode, starting off with just a touch of Epstein for those that like the Epstein and maybe know what the gossip, because there's going to be a lot of gossip after this. Either it's going to be a basement blast, gossip galore, and then get into the Beverly Hills 90210, or it'll be gossip galore and Epstein, and then a quick turnaround to the 90210. Well, one of the things that I want to talk about is in the last episode, I had asked for some help finding the person that was photographed with Josh Lucas and then also photographed with Jeffrey Epstein. And Jeffrey Epstein, 2 years earlier, had his hand on her butt. And then in 2007, we see her at a Ghislaine Maxwell party at Ghislaine's house. Notice the photo that I've included in this episode, and that is from Ghislaine's house. Quite bizarre. Anyway, I asked her to help, and lo and behold, somebody found another picture of the person that in the 2005 photo had been referred to as unidentified. In 2007, the photo with Josh Lucas, the photo had listed as Kim Burns. And then somebody found another photo of her at a different party, and the name was Dana Burns. Well, somebody on Twitter, a follower named Agent Hades 1, managed to find Dana Burns. And what they found was pretty interesting. They said that Dana is 34 years old. She lives in Michigan. And in 2010, There's a company called Elmax, E-L-L-M-A-X, kind of like Ghislaine Maxwell, right? And that company was formed in 2010 in Florida. You had Ghislaine forming the company. And then what's really kind of interesting is that Dana Burns is part of that company. The Florida Limited Liability Company switched over to New York in 2013. And there's only two authorized people in the business as of then. You had Ghislaine Maxwell, and then you had Dana Burns. And the other interesting thing is the CT Corporation system, which is involved in that too, and that'll come around in the next big full-length part I do on Epstein. And it's just fascinating that after all those years, so the last time we had seen Dana Burns was 2007 at with Josh Lucas, and then all of a sudden now 2010, so 3 years after that is when the Florida Corporation was filed, and then 3 years after that, 2013, is when it was transferred up to New York, so you still had Dana Burns involved in this whole thing. Anyway, there was talk that, what I thought was kind of interesting, is that there was a lot of people online who thought that Dana Burns and Ghislaine were the same person, but obviously, unless there's, it doesn't seem possible, because we have these photos of Dana Burns, we have photos of Dana Burns at Ghislaine Maxwell's party, where Ghislaine is also there, unless it's somebody that, you know, is being used as a person, hey, let's find some picture of somebody on the internet. It doesn't make any sense. Ghislaine and Dana are not the same person. And then in 2017, so October of 2017, there was a voluntary dissolution of the company. And we now have Dana with a new last name in this thing, called Dana Perry, which is really kind of interesting. But I guess maybe at that time then she decided that she was going to move to Michigan. The address on the filing, the New York one, is 116A East 65th Street. And that is the former apartment that Ghislaine had purchased from Linda Rothschild. Where have we heard that name before? And she had bought it for around $5 million back in 2000. is, and this is similar to what we have with Mark Epstein and all of these businesses from Jeffrey's old victims turned procurers who all use that, I think it's 666, right? East Fifth Avenue or something. They all use that building as their address for their companies. This Linda Rothschild, obviously, she was the subject of Reveal. She came out and supported Jeffrey Epstein frequently. There's tons of pictures with her. She had sold it for $5 million. And apparently, it was worth $13.5 million. Which makes not a whole lot of sense. This same apartment also had the Adriana Ross. That's one of the co-conspirators, the one that the Daily Mail tracked down, coming out, I believe, of a building with her husband, and she's running away in tears, and she says, you don't know the story, so. And it was Daily Mail that actually said that Dana Burns was an alias for Ghislaine, but I don't think that they had done quite the digging that all of us had, and then, you know, Agent Hades 1 continued and put all those pieces together. And the Daily Mail today had a picture from 2000 that had Prince Andrew and Donald Trump and Ghislaine, everybody all in the same picture. And they didn't make it clear if it was from that same February weekend. My guess is it probably is. That weekend, Prince Andrew did play golf with Donald Trump. That was talked about. That was the tennis tournament weekend. So all those players were there. It's very kind of interesting. The UK address for this LMAX is a cottage, and it's occupied by a person named Catherine Vaughn Edwards, who is another old friend. Anyway, the Josh Lucas was invited to that Ghislaine party, and there's a photo of him with Ghislaine that I had seen before. If you want to spend some interesting time, you can go to Getty Images and type in Ghislaine Maxwell and just start going through the people that are parties. And that's where this all started with me. Is I had seen this woman with Josh Lucas, and then somebody else, a reader, said, oh, you know what? I think she's the same person that was the Jeffrey Epstein with the hand on the butt. And I was like, okay, well, this person, it's not just some random person that was at this Ghislaine party. And then now you find out, okay, this person had a relationship at least going back to 2005, right, with Jeffrey Epstein. And so in 2005, if she really is 34 now, you know, 14 years ago that she was 20, but we don't know when she first came into this orbit. But we do know that she stuck with Ghislaine through everything, through this 2007 trial and everything with Jeffrey. She stuck through it, and, you know, 2010, they're still working together, you know, provably. 2013, they're still working together. And then 2017, you know, they dissolved this company. So, as I had, what was happening when you found out that it was Dana Burns rather than a Kim Burns, then you can go to the flight logs, which Agent Hades did. She looks like she was brought into everything through Jean-Luc Brunel, because most of the times that she's on a flight, he's on a flight too. And one of the other things that's confusing is that on the flight logs, she is listed once as Kimberly Burns. Sometimes she's Dana Burns. Sometimes she's DB, but she's on the flights a lot. Then, and this is something that I had actually read, you know, I've read to you, was the Maritza Vasquez deposition, and I've read parts of it to you before. And then Agent Hades went back and looked, and Dana is mentioned in the deposition. And Maritza was asked, have you ever heard of Dana Burns? And she goes, I believe I heard that name, but I... And then the follow-up question, and the attorney should not have interrupted the answer. The attorney says she works up in New York, and I believe she works for Jeffrey Epstein in some capacity. Do you know who that is? I believe so, period. Then no, period. And then no follow-up. The attorney just says okay. This was an attorney who had maybe a limited amount of time. I don't know. But when you don't interrupt somebody when they're going to talk and maybe provide information about somebody you wanted to know, I don't know if they just were trying to list as many names as possible to get them on the record. But I believe I heard that name, but I, and then you cut them off. You don't do that. And then, you know, saying that, oh, she works up in New York and I believe she works for Jeffrey Epstein in some capacity. You know, do you know who that is? And then they say, I believe so, and then no. And you just say, okay, and the person just contradicted their own answer. This is the kind of thing that's frustrating. You always want to let people talk if they're going to give you some information. You know, if they're just rambling about nonsense, then you cut them off. But let the person explain, you know, maybe you would have found out something more. Because obviously she's involved. It sounds more like she's involved with Ghislaine than it does with Epstein. But, you know, so it looks like the 2005 was when that photo was taken with Epstein. And there is a flight on February 3rd, 2005 that had three women on it that aren't identified. They're just females. And Epstein was on it. Sarah Kellen, of course, who, you know, should go to jail. Nadia should go to jail. Jean-Luc Brunel should go to jail. And then there's three females. But, so the flight records that were provided, there's two different kind of flight logs. There was ones from the police, I mean, not the police, the pilots, and then there's ones that were provided by other people, and they don't always. So one says three females, but if you look at other pilots, they were much more detailed. And that's where you see March 18th, 2005 flight from New York to Florida. Dana Burns and Maxwell and Epstein were all on that flight together, but there's these other logs that don't indicate that she was on there at all. So we have this inconsistency. And that's where, you know, I think it's really important, going back to what I had said before, all those Wexner flights, because they were corporate flights, they probably did a much better job of, you know, keeping track who was going on the flights. So good job to Agent Hades there. I mean, really good job. I mean, just taking it and running with it, it's really good. There's something else I wanted to see. okay. Who's one of... Yeah, the assessed value. So Ghislaine bought it for $4.95 million, and the mansion was worth about $13.4 million. So $8.5 million less. So, you know. And Lynn Rothschild never really commented on that sale. But then again, what we've seen before is with Wexner and the house that Epstein bought, he didn't have his own money. It just... Nobody's got any money, but all these people are just giving it to them. And then you wonder, as I said with the Rothschild, with that reveal, you know, Ghislaine is just wonderful at blackmail and, you know, all kinds of things that she can use to her advantage. But again, she's also subject to these same kind of things. Because she's with Epstein and, you know, she is sexually assaulting underage girls too. But I would really, really like to talk to Dana Burns. And has anybody, you know, we always talk about Haley Robson, we talk about Sarah Kellen, we talk about Nadia, we talk about Jean-Luc Brunel. I feel as if the people reporting on it talk about Jean-Luc a lot less than they should. I think that the French government is finally kind of saying, okay, we need to look into this Jean-Luc guy. And I think that there's going to be some charges But have we ever really heard Dana Burns' name come forward? Isn't this somebody that we really should be hearing from? Isn't this somebody that she's... It's kind of mind-boggling in a way. I mean, obviously, Attorney Who Asked Maurizio had this name, but they didn't seem all that interested because they didn't allow for the follow-ups. So, you know, these are the kind of people that need to be found. And look what everybody did. I found one photo. One photo. Which I when I was just going through all the Ghislaine ones. Then somebody else, a reader, said, oh, I think it's the same person as the hand on the butt. And I go, oh my gosh. All right. Let me find out when that photo was taken. Let me find out what the other photo was taken. Post it. It's this collective effort. Because, you know, obviously we're not, well, I don't know, some of you who are listening might be reporters. But for the most part, we're just interested. And what we have found is that we have this Dana Burns, who we know was with Epstein in 2005. We don't know when she first appeared on the scene, but we definitely can confirm 100% that that picture was taken in 2005 and that she was on his planes in 2005, often accompanying Jean-Luc Brunel. Often Ghislaine was there. She is still such good friends in 2007 with Ghislaine that she is in New York and goes to a party that Ghislaine is hosting at her house. Josh Lucas is there, and that's how we get this extra link, because there's a photographer there. And remember, 2007 is when all of this trouble was going on with Jeffrey Epstein after the arrest and all that. But it doesn't appear that she's distanced herself. Dana hasn't distanced herself from Ghislaine, who, remember, is being accused of underage, sexually assaulting underage girls. And the non-prosecution agreement, was Dana ever interviewed? It seems as if she should have been. And then in 2010, 2013, so in 2015, when Ghislaine is going through this the defamation trial with Virginia Roberts, you would think that Dana Burns' name would get brought up again. As in, Ghislaine, do you operate any companies? Do you own any companies? What companies are registered from your home? These are things that attorneys that charge as much as those attorneys did should be able to dig up. They should look through the New York business records, corporation filings, and find it. And say, who is this Dana Burns? And then get Dana Burns to start talking. And it doesn't appear that was ever done. And now she's living in Michigan. But wouldn't she know just a ton? A ton. I mean, she was... we don't know what they did between 2013 and 2017. We don't know if the corporation, the next step is trying to get some tax records, I would imagine, to see if there was anything that was done in those 4 years, right? But from 2005 to 2013, we have a pretty solid business relationship. And what was this business? What was it doing? Was it just laundering money? Was it shuffling things? What was it doing? But somebody who had this relationship was always on flights. They saw stuff. But, the Daily Mail, up until they thought that Dana Burns was an alias for Ghislaine. They said it in their article. When it talks about the Catherine Vaughn Edwards, it says another old friend. Its U.S. base is Maxwell's New York flat via one Dana Burns, which appears to be an alias that Ghislaine uses. So these are reporters. So they just assumed it was an alias, and they didn't really dig any further. Now, I am ecstatic if some reporters take what all of you, because all I found was one photo, and then somebody else connected that, who was a reader and a listener. And then Agent Hades did the rest of the puzzle. Now somebody, the reporters who have access to expense accounts and things like that, should go to Michigan and find Dana Burns and try and interview her. I mean, they went and found Adriana Ross, who's also a big part of this. And they need to ask. And we need to keep finding these other people. There are so many photos of, say, like Ghislaine and Epstein and an underage girl or somebody who appears underage, they might not be, but we don't know who they are. And there's so many of them. And what if Dana hadn't taken a picture with Josh Lucas? Then it would have been much harder. This third photo that was found was after somebody, it was somebody else who found a photo of this, of Dana Burns, when I mentioned the name or something, and then I posted all of them to Twitter, the third photo. But all we had with Epstein was unidentified. What we had with Josh Lucas was Kim Burns. But it's all these people that know things. I would venture to say also that this Dana Burns knows more than our Jane Doe 103, the one who referred to herself as the number one girl. Because her time was kind of limited to Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, she was with him a bunch, and she flew back and forth to New York, but I would think that perhaps Dana has much more to offer. And much more to offer not only with the underage sex and if the girls that Jeffrey was with, but apparently the whole inner workings. Because if you think about it, Haley and Adriana and Nadia and I'm forgetting one. They were all focused on Jeffrey, right? This is somebody, and even then when they did their new businesses, you know, they did them through Mark, so there was kind of the Mark and Jeffrey thing. Because you had this Jeffrey Epstein Ghislaine split. But Dana went with Ghislaine. So I think that she was in a position to know a lot more. She's in a position to know more about finances. She's in a position to know possibly where Ghislaine is. I mean, they dissolved this thing in late 2017. I mean, the filing didn't go through until the beginning of 2018. That's last year. So I think that's somebody that needs to be found. And how many more people like Dana are there? Maybe Ghislaine's in Michigan. I just think that is something that hopefully the authorities are looking into. I don't know. Let's see. There was something else I wanted to talk about that came out the day before. And it was talking about the cameras. I believe it was the former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Preet or whatever. I can't remember his last name, and I know I'll mispronounce it. But he had said that in the correctional facility that there's cameras literally everywhere, focused on cells, focused on the outside of cells, everything. And he would be the person who would know. And do you remember at first when the story broke, they said there were no cameras there? And it just seemed odd. And I talked about it in one of the episodes. I said, that just seems odd because the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, where this correctional facility, where all his prisoners are held while awaiting trial, would know about the cameras. And if they said they're everywhere, but the initial report was, oh, there's no cameras covering that particular area. And you're like, okay, well, that's really convenient. But then now it turns out that the cameras that were outside the jail cell of Jeffrey Epstein, there was two of them. Just like Preet Bharara had said, there's cameras everywhere. Those two cameras, they'll malfunction. What are the odds? What are the odds that the two cameras malfunctioned? Both of them. I mean, it's not that difficult to keep cameras in operation. I feel as if every single person, at least in America, and I don't know how it is in the rest of the world, but every single person has some type of Ring doorbell kind of camera. And they seem to work pretty well. because we are going to watch Package Thieves steal our silverware and our books. And then post them to Nextdoor. So the federal government can't have operating cameras? It seems like it's a pretty easy thing to do. Now, how many others? This would be the next question to ask. Okay, so those two were not working. What about all the rest of the cameras in the place? Are there a lot that are broken? I mean, if 70 or 80% are broken, okay, it would seem more believable than these being the only ones that were broken. And Epstein's, that hearing that I was talking about the other day where the victims got a chance to speak, apparently Epstein's lawyers in that hearing told the judge that they had doubts about the New York City chief medical examiner's conclusion. Now, that had been reporting, but nobody had actually, you know, come out and said it, you know, from his side. And then they did in court to a judge. Now, the two cameras were within view of the jail cell. And, you know, you had this last minute, let's take them off suicide watch, the guards again. Now, the cameras, the malfunctioning ones, were sent to the headquarters of the FBI. Well, not the headquarters because it's in Washington, D.C., but they're the Quantico. Priyanka Chopra's old show. But it's, you know, it's where they analyze this kind of stuff. You know, I wish that it was more transparent. You know, I wish that they said, okay, here's the cameras. We're just going to have a camera on these cameras the whole way. And we want you to watch, you know, live stream us trying to break it down. Now, there was one camera in the hallway, I guess further down, that had usable footage. Is it usable footage? Is it going to show somebody coming in? Are we ever going to know the truth? You know, the FBI tweeted out that they're still looking, you know, they want other victims to come forward. But they specifically asked for Epstein victims. And at this point with the Epstein victims, it seems more of a civil issue where they're going to try and get money out of the estate if they can find out who's got the money, because it went into a trust. What they should be asking is, you know, if you were, I mean, I guess if you were an Epstein victim, and then they can ask you questions about if anybody else was there. You know, and we'll see how many come forward. So we have this Jane Doe 103 thing going on, but I keep coming around to Dana Burns. I'd like to know more about, you know, Gwendolyn Beck being in the book under massages, and the fact that she said that she went over there for massages. I'd like to know about that. The other person that was in that photo with Dubin and everything, the other woman, the sex aid entrepreneur. I mean, I'd like to hear her talk about Prince Andrew if a tabloid will pay her. But I get the feeling that she's probably fairly well off, judging by the fact that this MaximumInternational.com is still in business after 20 years. Chances are good that, you know, she's making some money doing that. And maybe doesn't want to bring attention to herself. Anyway. It feels like maybe that, you know, we're doing the work of law enforcement and stuff. And reporters are doing good work too. And as I said earlier, you know, please go ahead and take the information, what I found, what I've talked about, the use of that chart, that wonderful, wonderful chart. I think it's on version 13. That map, it's just everything. And I stopped posting them to the site because the person who does it just keeps posting them and I just retweet. But it's an amazing thing. And to see how it's evolved from the first version, and it's just trying to keep every single name straight. All in one place. And then, you know, if you view it on Google Drive and that person's made it available so everybody can do it, you can click on every single link and you can find out more about, and it's just the arrows and trying to put everybody together. And I'm hoping that somebody, I feel like the Daily Mail, the British tabloids, does it feel like others have given up? I kind of feel that way. When you look at, you know, who's writing the stories, it feels like the British press, because they're really interested in the Prince Andrew thing. So I think that's what's kind of keeping their interest going, their focus, and also the fact that Ghislaine is also British. So that kind of keeps their interest going, but do you feel like anybody is really doing anything here? You know, whether it's, you know, somebody on the left, like a MSNBC, or somebody on the right, like a Fox, it doesn't really seem like they're doing anything. You know, the New York Times ran an article about the way the ring operated, but it kind of just seemed like a rehash of what the Miami Herald had done. And I'm sure that I'm sure the Miami Herald is still, you know, digging around. But nobody's really, when we find things like this Dana Burns, when we find these connections from that weekend in 2000, but nobody's really talking about them. You know, or Dubin and how he was, just all these people that were there. And I don't know if they're afraid that it's going to, you know, maybe they're afraid of what they're going to find. Maybe they're afraid of what the questions they're going to have to ask. Maybe they're afraid that they're going to end up dead. You know, there's only so much that all of us can do. There's only so much that we can research in Ohio. I mean, people have sent me some wonderful things, and there's a whole bunch of information that somebody sent me yesterday that's really, really good. And, you know, it's stuff that I need to go through. There's like a video of Trump welcoming Epstein, the Dubins, and Ghislaine. And, you know, some things about Naomi Campbell and, you know, showing up in some weird places. Then there was the, you know, when you see Courtney Love in the Black Book, and there's an arrow, and it's drawn specifically to Dana, but it's probably Dana Giacchetto, who was Courtney Love's money manager at the time, probably. And then Giacchetto, of course, committed suicide later, which is interesting. And then there's the whole Courtney Love and Leonardo DiCaprio, because Dana was involved with, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio too. And then, oh, this is, there was a, somebody thought maybe that Dana Burns, see, that's the other thing, Dana Burns, you got to find those correct pictures, because everybody's trying to do reverse image searches and things like that, and they're coming up with, say, Russian models or European models, and it just kind of, to kind of look at it, and, you know, there's always the people who think that it's Miley Cyrus, but, you know, the closest that I've seen is a woman by the name of Maria Alexis, and she kind of looks like Dana, but not really, and now that we know, you know, Dana is around. Anyway, the Epstein case moves on. I'm going to do another, you know, full hour. This one, I honestly thought I was going to talk for about 10 minutes on it, and it's been 35. And I just admire every one of you who digs into this, who makes these connections, who listens to what I say and then takes that and finds more. You know, the chart, it had to probably have 200-300 hours into it. You know, just because everybody wants to find the truth. You know, John Doe brought up an interesting thing today that you remember when you look at Epstein and all the malfunctioning cameras and then Princess Diana, and none of the cameras in that tunnel worked, right, the night she died. And I think that the malfunctioning cameras in that situation really clouded everything. And, you know, deprived people of answers. You know, I appreciate police departments or investigators when they see, oh my gosh, there's a conspiracy or whatever. Here's everything we have. You guys go at it, you look at it. Can you imagine if they did that in this case? We would just have everything discovered. It took 24 hours to find out all about Dana Burns. But we still don't know everything, do we? There's still more digging. I'm hoping that a reporter finds them. Now that the Daily Mail knows it's not an alias, maybe they'll go out and send somebody out and find her. I feel like they would be the ones to do it. And then I worry, you know, one of the things also that we haven't really talked about since it happened is, you know, I'm under the impression now that Ghislaine was never in and out. That's just my thing. There was a you know, some Photoshop experts, I mean absolute experts, you know, who analyzed it, and they could tell that she was inserted into the picture. And then I talked to you about the movie poster thing, how it's usually a movie poster and how the picture was probably taken a long time ago, and then, you know, deleting, blurring out people's faces that were there, other identifying things that would have helped. And then, you know, the New York Post had the interview with the supposed picture taker. And then it's all discredited, but I don't think they've ever followed up with, you know, hey, you know, we got screwed over by this person who told us all this stuff and gave us a story and, you know, why they didn't follow up with that person. You know, they had an interview with the person, apparently, which was the interview, I mean, it was taken by, you know, one of Ghislaine's attorneys, right? So was that the person who called in? You know, it's really confusing. And I think that we're kind of, there should be some kind of follow-up to why was this story published? Was there a real interview? Was there just, what exactly happened? Has anybody gone and tried to talk to the attorney? I don't think so. If somebody has seen an interview with the attorney, you know, let me know, the one who supposedly took the picture. And you don't even have to do something, you know, you can ask the attorney a question where it's not going to break attorney-client privilege, because I understand that Ghislaine is one of her clients or has been, and there's that privilege. I get that. But you could still say, did you take this picture? Maybe somebody took the picture from her. And they just decided to put that in there. I mean, people steal naked photos all the time. Maybe they had, you know, just, that would be a great question to ask. Was she in LA? And the person can go, the attorney can go, no. Or, you know, I'm not going to answer. But just something, some kind of question. There's not a lot of follow-ups. There's not a lot of what happened in that whole situation. Were we supposed to just let it go? In the sense of, okay, Ghislaine was in and out. This is the story. This is the interview. This is where she is. She's living. We're just taking all the attention, focusing away from something else. Look at this hand over here and put it over here. But it just fell apart so quickly. But was it something that because it, you know, went through to the New York Post that, okay, well, this is, you know, legit, we can trust it or something, and this is really where she is. Is this, was it being used to get us all to stop looking, or But there's never been any kind of, hey, we screwed up, or hey, we got lied to, or hey, we are part of this. I don't know. And I just kind of keep expecting something like that. So, all right. Well, stay tuned for gossip.